Hey, what's popping, everybody? Part two's popping for Thursday with Drew from Ferndale. Mark had to cancel late, unfortunately, but brought Don in off the bench from Northville. Brandon's here from Rochester Hills.
From the hills.
And Jay manning the board from Plymouth. Oh, Tess is here, too. I can't hear you, honey. You gotta get near the microphone if you want to talk.
Birmingham.
Oh, from Birmingham. I'm sorry. You want to be from Birmingham, really?
I'm from Detroit.
I can't hear you. She'd rather be from Ferndale. Please don't yell things off mic. I can't hear them. Step up to the microphone and say it if you mean it.
Hey, Drew. When you're on vacation, like at a resort, Mexico, wherever, people ask where you're from. What do you say? You say Detroit?
Yeah. Yes, I would.
Yeah.
I do, too. It's funny because, like, my wife, we're not from Detroit. We're from, you know, Northville.
Well, yeah, I think probably I would think better of it if I really thought about it because Detroit does have people do think crazy things about Detroit.
The respect I get all week at that resort.
People do think you're a badass if you're from Detroit.
Detroit, really?
I have the mean streets.
Detroit.
Hey, I have to tip my cap to Eve Plum, who played Jan on the Brady Bunch.
George Glass? She was the one with George Glass, was her boyfriend, right?
Jan?
Yeah, George.
George Glass?
The episode?
Eve Plum. I don't know. Wait, who's George Glass?
George Glass was the fictional boyfriend?
Yeah, when she pretended to have a boyfriend. Do you remember?
Oh, it was a fake boyfriend?
And their parents felt bad for her, and they, you know, came up to her, and she looked over, and they asked, what's his name? George? George what? Looked at the glass. George Glass. Come on. Jay, you remember that episode?
It's funny. I remember a lot of those episodes, like when Joe Namath was on.
Oh, yeah. How could you forget that one?
And then it was Davy Jones was on an episode.
Oh, yeah.
And then Don Drysdale was on an episode.
Was he really?
When Greg was a little league pitcher.
No kidding.
And Greg was claiming that he was going to be... He threw a no-hitter, I think. And he was, like, already planning on how he was going to spend all the money he made when he made it to the big time. And so Don Drysdale...
Was that post-career? Obviously,
yeah, Drysdale
obviously.
Was done. Yeah. Not that
still,
long, though. He was just out of baseball.
Oh.
And then
nice
just pull. When he had, when his ego was at its absolute max, the next time he pitched, he got lit up. Absolutely lit up, and his career was over. He didn't want to pitch anymore. He's a big baby about it. Anyway, Eve Plum, the reason she's in the news today is because when she was 11 years old in 1969, she bought a $55,000, 850-square-foot dump on Malibu Beach.
What's it worth?
She sold it yesterday for $3.9
million. Not a bad return there.
Go, Evie.
Yeah.
And it's a POS dump, too. I mean, I couldn't believe she didn't... I mean,
it's not still 800 square feet, I hope.
Yeah, it was a little tiny thing.
She didn't...
No, it looked like she didn't do a thing to it. But Eve Plum is loaded. She's also racked up pretty big time, too.
Really?
I don't know. How is
I thought Cindy would probably turn out.
Cindy's huge. She's huge.
Oh, she
was here for a Vipers game, and we had her in the studio. And Marsha, we had in for, she came in for some.
She's a stiff, isn't she?
Total stiff, yeah. She got pissed because I mentioned that Mr. Skin had her one topless scene on his site, and she said, that was a rape scene. Like she was really raped.
Oh, Jesus.
And of course, I think I pointed out immediately that, yeah, but it was a movie. You were not raped. So, I mean, you were topless and you were not raped.
Did you say, like, nice titties or quarter size?
No one said anything about that. It was just,
she was just
pointing out that she was in this scene that no one ever knew about. And she copped such an attitude after that. She was a bummer the rest of the interview. Has anyone seen Marsha Brady lately? Is there a current picture of her, Jay? Can you maybe dig one up? In addition to her celebrity net worth, please. I guess you should look up Eve Plum's net worth, too.
So
Marsha's name is Maureen McCormick? Yeah.
So Eve lived in that home all these years?
I don't know.
And didn't add on 800?
I don't think she lived there because I know she had kids and stuff, but she obviously held on to this little dump.
Eve Plum's worth 2.5 mil.
She's worth 3.9.
Well, not anymore.
Now she's,
She doubled her net worth or more.
I wonder how accurate celebrity net worth is. Because I've seen people in there. I think the lower the amount you're worth, the less accurate they are.
Yeah, I think. What do you think Greg's? Greg's got to be the.
Greg Brady?
Yeah, he's got to have the most net worth. Right?
Let's see.
Barry Williams.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what? One of them,
Which one's a train wreck?
One of them is a train wreck, but one of them I think is in finance and was kind of an investment wizard, I think. But what's Barry worth?
$4 mil.
That's disappointing. You know,
we have a Maureen McCormick number. Oh, she's worth.
What about Alice?
I want to know too, because I saw this thing. It was a click. It was clickbait online. It said $2 million.
$2 million for Maureen.
Wow.
She should be worth more than that. I mean, she was Maureen. She was
on the Christopher
Marcia
Knight.
Brady, for Christ's sake.
What about
Christopher
Al?
Knight? Oh,
yeah, Christopher
Knight. Let's see. Is he going to be worth a lot?
Yes, the most.
$15 million.
Yeah.
Woo.
Is he the one that Peter. Was became the reality?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that's why. That's why.
Okay.
What about Alice? She's not even on there.
Alice.
Guaranteed.
She's not even alive.
Yeah. No.
Ann B. Davis worth $200,000. Oh, man. Come on. Ann B. Davis. She was an actress. She was in a lot of stuff. How could she be worth $200,000?
I mean, goddamn, she was Brady Bunch. She's
How about Mike Brady? I think Brady is Robert Reed is going to be low because I think he had to pay off a lot of people to get out of like gay, being exposed as a homosexual.
He was a payer offer.
Could have been. Well, he's dead, so do they not? They're not sure what dead people were worth when they. $4 million?
Yeah. Well, they're worth more dead, aren't they?
Okay, so. Florence Henderson's going to be worth.
Big money.
$10 million.
12.
I'll say. 12?
I say 12.
I think you're going to win.
This might be a different Robert Reed, though.
Yeah, it's different. Here you
go. Oh, $10 million? Yes.
No, get out.
Flo Ho. Flo Hay.
Damn.
$10 million. How about that?
Going to Vegas.
I can get lost on that site, though.
Oh, we do all the time.
Oh, my God.
Once Jay gets started, it's anyone that comes up, I see their celebrity net worth up there, which is kind of cool.
Put Drew's name in there.
No, don't put my name in there. I don't think I'm in there, but I don't want to know anyway.
Put Clark in there, then.
I don't want to know what I'm worth.
Are you afraid it's not accurate?
You can put Mike Clark in there.
They don't have Sam the Butcher.
Sam the Butcher's not in there?
No. Well.
I wonder, you know, we were talking about all those odd characters from Andy Griffith, like Ernest T. Bass. Like, I wonder what Ernest T. Bass is worth. Or Howard Sprague, or Otis the Drunk.
Otis the Drunk. They're like Stern characters.
They are. The Whack Pack.
Yeah.
The Mayberry Whack Pack. We were trying to get the plot straight on Otis Campbell and why they cleaned him up and pretended he wasn't drunk for a few days. Was it because his brother was coming to town?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And his brother.
Wait, was it his brother? Or his?
His brother locked himself in the jail, didn't he? Yeah. He got drunk and locked himself in the jail. That's right.
Good stuff.
That was a very well-written show. Like, what would Mrs. Crump be worth? Peggy Crump? Wasn't it Andy's babe?
Yeah, probably small change.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. Did we get all the Bradys? Did we miss somebody? Robert Reed, we didn't get a number for him, but I guess he's not available. He's been dead
He's
a while.
Broke. You're right. He had to pay everybody off. His dick costed him all his net worth.
Ryan Lochbe, we have the latest. This is the fresh report from NBC. It should have been the absolute lead story, but I think they led with Usain Bolt because they're trying to act as if we care more about the games than about this stupid... out of the swimming pool incident, which is the only thing everyone's talking about. However, there's another thing that is getting obliterated by all this other BS, and that is that they've discovered that the swimming pool, where all these events are going on, the swimming events, has a huge issue that is causing some lanes to be faster than other lanes because of currents.
Currents. It's so bizarre.
The higher numbered lanes have a current which creates an advantage of something on the order of, what, 2/10 of a
point
second?
0.2.
That's humongous.
Huge, yeah.
And they also have discovered that every medal winner has been in lanes 4 through 8, except for one. And obviously the current advantage has something to do with it. Now, when Katie Ledecky wins by 11 seconds...
It doesn't matter, right?
No, but... there have been some really close finishes, some photo finishes.
Well, look at the one when, what's his name? Phelps finished second, right? Three of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's
he was in a high lane, though, wasn't he?
He was.
They both were, though, weren't they? They were next to each other.
Yeah, they were all consecutive, correct.
You know what else was wild? I don't think we talked about this. I want to say it was like not a sprint, but not a long distance race, where the girl dove across the line.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. She finished second too, right?
Yeah. Our girl got the silver. No, the girl that dove won.
Oh, she did. That's bullshit.
Who was our chick that lost?
She got skinned up pretty good for diving.
On. You remember her name?
Well, I know it was Shawnee Miller is the one that Allison Felix
is the one that lost.
Is the one, yeah.
Oh man!
Did you just read that, or did you know that?
I just pulled it up.
Oh, good.
Brandon has.
He's a whiz.
Yeah, no, he's pretty quick. He actually remembered the other night that Maddox Jolie Pitt is actually Billy Bob Thornton's kid because Billy Bob and Angelique adopted Maddox right before they split up.
Nice.
And he blew the kid off, of course.
Of course.
Flying
of course.
Fuck. Yeah. And he became Pitt's kid.
You know, it's funny because we were talking about Billy Bob Thornton, which led you guys to play the Daryl Hargraves Band. And I've never seen
Sling Blade. Mark will do anything to play the Daryl Hargraves Band.
I've never seen Sling Blade.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
In its entirety. And so today I spent a couple hours. I didn't even watch the entire movie in its entirety, but what I did was I watched all these different pieces on YouTube of different clips. So I watched it completely out of order, but I just kept watching all these Billy Bob clips. I even watched, what's that stupid one, that stupid episode, that show where inside the actor's studio?
Yeah.
With Billy Bob Thornton talking about Sling Blade.
Okay, in all the Sling Blade clips that you saw, did you see the one where Billy Bob or Carl plays football?
Yes. Yeah.
You saw that scene?
I did.
That scene is hilarious, the way he runs.
I just reckon that I give you the ball and you can score a touchdown.
I love that scene.
First one.
Did you see the scene where he has lunch with
John Ritter?
John Ritter's character.
Yes.
What's the character's name?
Vaughn.
Vaughn, that's right. I love when Vaughn says, you know, you're a very deep man. I think we have a lot in common. In fact, what were you just thinking a moment ago?
Thinking I need to take some of these taters home with me.
I gotta eat more of these French fry potatoes. I know. God, that's funny. Many funny scenes in that movie.
Yeah, all because of...
it's not funny.
All because of that Earl... what is it? The Hargraves Band that you guys keep bringing up.
You must see the entire movie, though. You gotta see it. That's...
I even watched that again. The
I have a hard time thinking of a movie I like better. Seriously, that's one of my favorite movies.
Saw Shawshank Redemption and threw it up with that.
Scored really high on Rotten Tomatoes too.
Shawshank Redemption is the number one most beloved movie in. I've seen a couple polls where
really?
They polled a lot of people, and Shawshank was number one. I don't know.
Was that Gone with the Wind or?
No, it was number one. It
it's
was
always
absolutely
like
number
Godfather
one.
Or.
Yeah, Godfather's always up high. I wonder where... Can you see if Sling Blade comes up high in one of them lists?
One, two, three, four.
Yeah! I know Mark even knows every word of the scene following the song. I know the police!
It's Randy.
Billy Bob Thornton, net worth $30
million. We don't okay. got a man, Randy.
Kill music, please. Much as I love it, I've heard an awful lot lately.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Back to that Pitt. Brad Pitt is just, she has destroyed Brad Pitt, hasn't she, Angelina?
Jolie?
Like, he's just like, no, like, Brad Pitt was Brad Pitt. And now he's,
yeah,
like,
I think you're
like,
right.
I think everybody's lost respect for Brad Pitt.
He's clearly under her thumb.
Oh,
I don't believe that this lifestyle appeals to him at all of adopting 9,000 kids and living in France 6 months a year and, you know, having houses all over the planet and all her. I mean, she to me would be one of the most high maintenance chicks you could ever live with.
Pussy.
And I suspect that because he dumped Aniston for her, essentially, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So
hard, yeah.
It's probably hard to admit that mistake.
Yeah.
So will he go the distance? Nah,
He's got to now. Otherwise, his escape.
I think he comes to his senses, and maybe it's a movie he makes with somebody who's super hot, and he really digs her.
Just like how he got with her.
Exactly. But yeah, I don't know. I think he's lost all that to everybody. You know, the girls even.
Oh, you think he's been so softened? He's been so compromised that he doesn't have it within himself to rescue himself. You might be right,
because he was the man.
Yeah, no, he had it all. He had it going. Hey, I went to the Tigers game today, which was really cool to go to a day afternoon game. I haven't done that in so long because working afternoons at sports, that screwed me out of all the afternoon games, all the weekday afternoon games, I should say. And then just
love afternoon games.
The podcast has kind of made it difficult too. But today I took time out. I went, and it was a great game. Boyd pitched great again, and once again the relief pitching tried to screw us. Tried so hard. Andrew Wilson came in his second inning. He gave up consecutive hits.
Alex did.
Alex Wilson gave up the first run. Justin Wilson came in. Oh wait, Justin may have given up the hit that scored the first run. Although he didn't get charged with it, I think. And then he threw a wild pitch to give up the second. He threw it behind the hitter to give up the second run. So we're down 3-1. I was cursing our bullpen. I was so pissed. I'm so disgusted with this bullpen. Here's the main reason I'm pissed. The collective ERA of the bullpen since the beginning of June is, I think, 1 or 2 in the major leagues. It's that low. But everyone they've given up has been a run that's lost a lead in a game or lost a tie in a game. I swear, they have been so unclutch. When it's 5-0 in the eighth, they won't give up a run.
They're money. Yeah,
they're absolutely money. Or if it's 10-6 and they come in the fifth, they'll shut them out the rest of the way. If it's 12-1, they won't give up a run. Even Mark Lowe won't give up a run in a situation like that. But if there's anything on the line, they have been choke city.
They are chokers.
Justin Wilson has been a disaster.
Yeah.
He was so good.
He was. He is.
Is he still throwing hard? Is he?
Yes. He's throwing 95, 96. I don't know what his effing problem is. What's wrong with Rondon, too? He's been getting hit.
He's always been a mess.
I know. He's kind of a mess.
He's the guy you're rooting for, though. Right?
Because he's got it. He throws 101.
I mean, that's our closer, hopefully.
He should be lights out. He and Jimenez should be our bullpen for the next 5-6 years.
Should be. Where is Jimenez?
There's something wrong with Rondon, though. Although, could he end up being the Fernando Rodney when we let him get away?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Couldn't he have left, though? Or no? When we sent him home last...
He's in club control.
Okay.
No, he's still under club control.
There's no way they could give him up, though. He's still young.
No, but I have a feeling if he keeps sucking like he has been, they might give up on him, just like Fernando Rodney.
Remember when he first came back, like, what, 6-8 weeks ago?
Yeah, he was lights out.
Was he throwing 102?
Yeah, he was. No, he was awesome. God. He looked so good. He still looks good. I don't know how. I don't know.
When you throw 102, how could you not?
You have to change speeds.
Yeah, I guess.
You can't just blow people away. I mean, everyone learns that. Yeah. Fernando Rodney.
Look at Chapman.
Yeah, Chapman.
That's all he does, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Although he is the hardest throwing guy.
Yeah, 105. You know,
maybe in the history of baseball.
Yeah, that's just violent. Anibal Sanchez the other day. Sanchez, he goes 6 2/3, a perfect ball. He ends up having 7 strong innings. Justin Wilson comes in, very first pitch.
Tie game.
Home run.
One pitch. Tie game.
Loudest boos I've heard at Comerica in a long time.
Doesn't that kind of sum up our season?
Yeah, pretty much. And then Green came in, gave up a 2-run homer.
Who's been
money. And that wasn't enough. Yeah, he gave up another run, too, so it was 4-1, and we have no offense right now. But here's the difference. Today, for some crazy reason, in the bottom of the eighth, maybe... Kinsler let off with a single. Kinsler's been in a horrible slump.
But of course it was him starting it today.
Yeah, that was sweet. That was a big hit. And then Ibar hit a double down the right field line to put men in second and third. And with Miggy coming up, I said, well, the bases aren't loaded. Maybe he'll get a hit. Because Miggy, he's another reason we lost last night. Bases loaded. Right. We're up 1-0. He hits into a freaking double play. God, that was terrible. Brutal.
Are they going to do a, that's Aviles, right? Remember when he ended with
Alex?
Bases loaded, he popped out or struck out, and that's when they made the trade, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder why they didn't do that with Miggy.
The little contract.
Joker.
Anyway, Miggy got a hit up the middle today.
Today?
Yeah, although this is the thing. Our base running just kills me. I watched the replay because I couldn't figure out, how did Ibar not score? It was like a blue pit, but he didn't hit it super hard. Fly ball that landed like 20 feet in front of the center fielder. Ibar didn't score from second.
And he's got wheels.
He does have wheels. Yeah. He took 2 steps towards second base before he took off for third. So he didn't score. And I thought, they're going to watch the lose 3-2 because of that. But no. Victor rips a single to right.
Victor. Nice.
And then Osmus pinch runs for both Victor and Miggy. So now if we don't score a run, we lose.
Right. Yeah. It's all or nothing.
No bats left in the lineup. But what happens is... JD coaxed a walk to load the bases. Then they got the second out. Or no, there were 2 outs.
And then McGahee had the
Ibar screwed up,
he ground out with the bases loaded.
Fielder's choice to the plate.
That's right. That was the second out.
How many? When Ibar gaffed, was there one out when he stumbled?
There was nobody out.
Oh, no out.
Nobody out. So wait a second. I'm missing something here. Casey McGee hit the ground ball to short that they threw home to force out at the plate. So it was still 3-3. That might have been the first out. Oh, Salty struck out after that. And I called it, too. I said, Salty's going to strike out. I wish they had Moya or somebody. But I can't believe they sent Moya down for Presley, Alex Presley, who was our left fielder today, because up in his bench now. He's benched
no
up.
No way.
He's benched. Yes. He was benched yesterday.
Wait, with our lineup, how can you do that?
That tells you how bad it is. They want him to maybe pull his head together by sitting on the bench. They have given up on him.
Oh,
He's 5 for his last 49 with 14 wow. strikeouts and hitting 5 double plays in 50 at-bats, 49 at-bats. But that's how bad it is. Anyway, he entered the game yesterday in the 8th inning and proceeded to make an error, a line drive down the left field line. He couldn't pick the ball up for some reason, and a guy got a triple out of it. A triple on a ball down the left field line in Comerica Park. Ridiculous. I don't know. They might have given him an error because he did fumble the ball, but anyway.
Wasn't he known for being
yes.
a very good, well above average fielder, base running, all the attributes?
Absolutely. And the word is that his hitting has caused the rest of his game to fall apart because he's sulking in the field and he's gotten some bad jumps on balls lately. And they finally decided he needs to sit and clear his head for possibly a week. I don't think it'll be that long. But he pinch ran today for Victor, I believe.
Screw that up. But
after Salty struck out, bases loaded, still 3-3, our entire lineup has been pinch run for. And Romine comes up.
Gene Lamont was on deck.
just about. Romine, he walked on 5 pitches to force in the 4th run.
Yeah.
And then it was 3-2 on Alex Presley, and unfortunately he threw a strike and he hit a ground ball to second base. So then, 4-3, K-Rod comes in, and K-Rod has been untrustworthy lately, too. He's scary as hell. He walks the leadoff hitter. They've got Ortiz and Pedroia on the bench, ready to pinch hit, and he walks the leadoff hitter.
Were you heading for the door?
I was already home, actually, at that point. And I'm livid. Brandon was in the kitchen watching with me. I'm like, no, don't. Anything but a walk. Do not walk this guy. And he walks him. Then the next hitter, he got on
quite tiring watching a game with you.
It was exhausting. You're right.
Intense.
The next guy made an out, I think, and then didn't Ortiz come up with one out? And he ripped a single to center.
Yeah, on the first
pitch. We got lucky then.
Yeah, first pitch. Yeah, you're right, because I was afraid he was going to hit it out.
So money.
So it's first and second with one out, and then a little cue ball off the end of the bat by Betts for the second out, but runners moved up to second and third. So it's 4-3, second and third, two outs. And who comes up but the best hitter, the hottest hitter on the Red Sox? Wait, was that Betts? Is that who I meant?
Yeah, I thought Betts came up.
Betts came up, who has 28 home runs, right?
Yeah, with Hanley on deck. And they never got to Hanley.
And I thought they would walk Betts.
Makes sense.
He's got 5 home runs and 13 RBIs in his last 5 games, I believe. 13 RBIs in 5 games. There's no way they should have pitched to him. Anyway, on a 2-1 pitch, he hits a shot to center field. Kinsler was playing way over towards the base, and he just reached up and caught it.
Oh, Kinsler's like Superman, isn't he?
Skin of the teeth.
Sweet.
He was in the right. He didn't have to really jump for it. It was just a...
Just it ended up in his mitt. Snap. So was that Kinsler's call? Like, where was he playing? Did they tell him to move?
I think they tell him where to play. Okay. Yeah, based on their charts. But that was definitely, if he had been two or 3 feet to the other side, it would have been a single up the middle and a 5-4 Boston lead with nobody in our lineup.
That's a big win, though.
But Miggy's RBI was his 1,000th.
That's right. And that was a big RBI. It was a huge RBI. Should have been 1,000 and 1,001. That was clutch. And we've ripped him for not being clutch, and he was clutch today. So
1,000th as a Tiger. He's got about 1,500-something career.
Yeah, just over 1,500. And he did that as early as almost anyone in the history of baseball, 1,500 RBIs. Amazingly, Miggy has done 1,000 RBIs in 1,336 Tiger games, I believe it is. Hank Greenberg did it in like 1,030 games.
That's amazing.
How in the hell did Hank Greenberg do that? And, you know, if you look at Hank Greenberg's career stats, you'll see that he missed 4 years in World War II. And he also, I believe, if you can bring him up, Brandon, I think he missed a year in the Korean War. in 51.
How many total hits did he have?
Greenberg, I don't know how many hits he had.
Did he have close to 3,000?
No.
No?
He missed 5 years in the war.
5 years. Wow.
Yeah. And he had 306 career homers with the Tigers, I believe. But the way he was hitting them, he's hitting like 45 a year.
Wow.
Okay, is this the great Hank Greenberg? Oh,
nope, Google.
Let's see. I got to back up here.
Oh,
it went to. Is that what I need? Just arrow back.
I'll hit this.
WTF? Anyway, this Upton thing is a.
It's a.
What
debacle?
Do you do, man?
Considering the other options. God, we're. Anybody's better than him.
Right now. I mean, Alex Presley, who's a 198 hitter in the major leagues. Good God, Hank Greenberg. It's such a short career. Okay, he missed 1941, he batted 67 times before he was called into the war. He did not play one game in 42, 43, or 44. That's 4 years from age 30 to 34 he missed.
Wow.
All that time.
What was his big year? Or what were the numbers?
He hit 58 homers in 1938. And
how many ribbies?
147, 315 average. And on the last day of the season, he had a doubleheader, chance to tie the Babe 60, because Maris hadn't hit 61 yet. That was in 1937. And he was walked, I believe, 5 or 6 times. And many felt it was anti-Semitism due to his Jewish religion.
It was.
He hit 41 home runs and 150 ribbies 2 years later with a 340 average. He had an OPS over 1,000 for 7 straight years. 7 straight years.
That's unmatched, right?
I don't know if anybody's ever done that. His career, Mickey Mantle had a bunch of years in a row. I was looking at Mickey Mantle stats the other day. He had a 10-year stretch that's just incredible. Hank Greenberg's career OPS is 1,017.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. Why don't
How many other guys are over 1,000? Anybody?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I think if we look it up, I bet you'll find there's maybe Bonds, Ted Williams, and Babe Ruth,
maybe.
He came back, and at age 35 with the Tigers, he missed a lot of 1945, too. He missed, like 4.5 seasons, but he played the full season in 1946 and hit 44 home runs his first year back. His second year back, he hit 25, and his average went down to 249, and he said, wah-wah.
Think about some of these greats that missed all these years with the war. It's a lot of pitchers, too.
Ted Williams, four years. This guy's career is incredible. It's just so
weird. Maybe the greatest Tiger of all time. I mean, if you...
Statistically, I don't know how you argue it.
That's hard to fathom, because if that were to go on today, I mean...
Yeah, imagine them going to the Middle East.
If there was a world war, God forbid, right now, do you really see the United States pulling our famous athletes?
No, nope. He also missed the entire 1936 with an injury. So he missed 6 seasons of prime time. This guy hit 40 home runs 5 times. He averaged basically 40 home runs a year, approximately 40 home runs a year in his prime. So you got to pencil him in for at least 6 years.
How old
was he? 240 more home runs. That's like 550 bombs.
How old was he when he quit?
36.
Okay.
But he's coming off being out of baseball for 5 years.
Not to mention he's one of the greatest defensive players. Excuse me. He's known as...
Hank Greenberg? I didn't know that. He won 2 MVPs. He was 3rd in the voting twice, 6th in the voting once, and 8th in the voting another time. In just, 13 years, but the 2 of the seasons they're counting as part of his 13, he barely played. 67 at-bats and 46 at-bats, and then half a season in 45. I mean, this is...
After his injury year... What did he do? The year coming off his
40 homers and 184 RBIs.
Wow, staggering!
Jesus,
that's
337 average, career average 313. Wow, this guy 605 slugging average career, on base 412, unreal.
Some fat numbers there.
Yep,
it reminds me of remember when Verlander was pitching a no hitter and Abar bunted.
Oh, yeah.
And, when you mentioned the 60 home runs, I thought of that.
Verlander called him Bush at the time.
Yeah.
He gave up a hit later in the inning, and they talked about that.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, I guess it's like, it was a long time ago. Oh, no big deal.
You know, Verlander still hates him.
Okay, here is the latest on Ryan Lochte from Mr. Bob Costas, ladies and gentlemen. This will blow your mind a little bit. Oh, did he screw up?
Welcome back to Rio, where today, as you know, if you've been following along, there were many more developments in the Ryan Lochte story, headlined by Brazilian officials declaring that Lochte's account was fabricated and presenting an array of evidence to back their version of events. The police say something did, in fact, happen at a gas station here in Baja, but not what Lochte told them. And so with the latest, we go to the scene of the incident, and that's the gas station in question, where Gotti Schwartz is standing by. Gotti.
Nice being involved in this gigundous incident at a gas station.
We're going to remember the Rio Olympics for...
I mean, literally, he cost himself millions of dollars at a gas station. What a moron. He's 32 years old, by the way. Consider that when you hear the rest of the story. 32.
Good evening, Bob. Just like back at home, this gas station is covered in surveillance cameras. So when Rio de Janeiro police started to see Ryan Lochte's story spread all over social media, they decided to come here to check the tapes, and what they say they saw didn't match his story.
Really?
No, really.
In a city that struggles with street crime.
Kind of hard to get pulled over in a gas station.
Crime and violence tonight. The highest profile investigation in Brazil is centering around a wild restroom stop by four members of the U.S. swim team after a night of partying.
A wild restroom
Did
stop?
You see how young those other kids were? I mean, they were kids.
Yeah, no, he was clearly the
ringleader. Yeah.
And as you'll hear, the vandalism was mostly by this 32-year-old.
He defaced it.
What an idiot.
New surveillance video showing swimmers Ryan Lochte, Jimmy Feagan, Gunnar Bentz, and Jack Conger leaving a party at Club France, and then tense moments at a gas station between them and a security officer with a gun. In a press conference today, investigators described what they learned about that early morning incident, saying the swimmers were belligerent. You can see them in this corridor in what appears to be a poster ripped down. Police saying at least one of them vandalized a bathroom, breaking mirrors and soap dispensers with employees nearby.
Wait, mirrors and what?
You did it, Drew.
What was the other thing besides the mirrors?
The door?
I got to hear it. How stupid, you idiot.
At least one of them vandalized a bathroom, breaking mirrors and soap dispensers with employees nearby. Investigators say when they got in their taxi to leave, security tried confronting the swimmers and called authorities. They also added employees were intimidated by the swimmers' size and aggressiveness. This angle shows what appears to be an unidentified man with a gun ordering them out of the taxi. Eventually, they get out, one of them with his hands raised. Investigators say at that point, a third party stepped in from off camera and offered to translate. Then the swimmers paid about $50 in damages before they were allowed to leave. So far, the reaction from the Rio...
$50, you idiots. Give them a couple hundred and make them happy.
Those other kids had fake IDs. They were so young.
Are you serious?
No, I'm just...
No, they're really young. I know. I thought you were just telling the truth. I can't believe how cheap that is. This guy is worth $6 million, according to Celebrity Net Worth. You know he's going to make, or he was going to make millions more in endorsements. $50 for a busted mirror, a busted soap dispensers, and they broke a door, too, we heard, didn't we?
I heard he flushed a comb down the toilet, too. Is that true?
The door open.
He threw a cherry bomb down the toilet.
He kicked the door.
He wrote Dr. Disgusto with feces in the mirror, too, before he broke it.
I heard he wrote Phelps' phone number.
For a good time, call Michael. For Michael Phelps in this glory hell, insert here. No, what? This is just so stupid.
Childish.
But I can't believe. I think maybe his biggest crime is being so cheap.
Yeah,
$50.
Well,
dude,
who came up with?
Million.
I wonder who came up with that.
Well, obviously he was satisfied to pay it, or he would have paid more. But I mean, once you're busted doing something that stupid, you gotta pay him off, grease their palms.
Absolutely, let's go to the bank. Let's go.
Come on, man.
The Olympic organizing committee has been forgiving.
You know, let's give these kids a break. You know, they, you know, sometimes you take actions that you later regret.
It's not a kid.
They made a mistake. It's part of life.
32.
That's cool.
A night after being pulled off their flight home, swimmers Gunnar Bentz and Jack Conger were questioned by police today. Investigators say one of them pointed the finger at Lochte for being the most responsible for the vandalism.
Way to go.
Sources say Jimmy Feagan is also still in Brazil and cooperating. But Ryan Lochte is back home in the United States, where he has changed parts of his original story several times since telling Billy Bush he was pulled over and robbed at gunpoint by men posing as police.
These guys came out with a badge, a police badge,
No lights, no nothing, just a police badge. They pulled us over. They pulled out their guns.
Still maintaining.
He was sober. He was sober there.
With Billy Bush?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What a douchebag.
No, I know. This is so incredibly stupid. And what's... Okay, the... It sucks that he didn't grease these guys' palms and pay them off so they'd shut up and be happy and not be wanting to bust the guy, which obviously they weren't happy at all. Second biggest crime here is leaving his teammates holding the bag.
The young teammates.
He did the bulk of the damage, and he screws these guys, leaves them behind. You said, with all the money he has, he should have paid for those guys to fly out the same flight he did, which probably was the issue that they had to change flights, or he had to change flight, probably cost some bucks, right? I'm assuming.
Oh, I'm sure.
But he should have ponied up for these guys. He put them in this mess.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got a private jet out of there, honestly. I mean,
he could afford it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he just left those.
Yeah, so they're left holding the bag, getting pulled off the plane for their passports are being held while he's comfortably sitting at home with his new medals.
Oh, buying a new wallet. This is what his dad said.
Oh, and there's fuck up number three. His father telling the media he went out to buy a new wallet, which he thought was probably, I'm going to help my kid here by pointing out he's buying a new wallet since his wallet was stolen by these phony police that pulled them over. But actually, the truth is, he had a wallet when he went through the x-ray machine at the airport, so we know he either had a new, quote-unquote, wallet, or he still had his old wallet. So apparently, he likes to have two wallets at all time because his father said he was out buying a wallet.
He probably bought a new one with the savings. He only had to pay $50 to get off, so he probably took the a couple hundred bucks and bought a new wallet since he got off so cheap.
And isn't it just... I don't know. It seems so stupid to be talking about going out to buy a new wallet like it's this big thing you spend the day doing.
I guess that doesn't sound like that proves his innocence, right?
And no, I know. It is like his dad's trying to say,
he didn't do it.
Oh, so he was buying a new wallet, so we know that his wallet must have been stolen. He was buying a new one today.
He was so upset. It was his favorite Velcro wallet from the 80s.
It just seems so, seems planned. Like, Dad, tell if media calls, be sure to tell him I'm buying a new wallet.
Last night, in a phone conversation with Matt Lauer, he was the victim of an armed robbery. And now his attorney pointing to 3 minutes of apparently missing surveillance video that he says would corroborate Lochte's latest story.
The music.
Wait, of them getting pulled over by some car? No, it's not going to corroborate his story. His story's uncorroboratable. He left out the fact that he tore up a gas station and paid off the guys. The guy has a gun. That's the only thing that resembles his story.
Maybe he got pulled over moving from pump 2 to 3.
That's the only way he got pulled over in that gas station.
Just bomb after bomb.
Oh,
he deserves it.
He's such an ass. And to think he cost, I wonder how many millions he cost himself. I mean, we'll never know exactly, but it's got to be in the millions. There's no
we
got to
find out and send him a nice piece of paper with that number on it.
Oh,
asshole.
And somebody, some other Olympian should be writing him a thank you note because somebody else is going to get endorsement money that he's not getting. So nice going, Lochte, Dick.
Now, this investigation seems to be dwindling down just for two of those swimmers. In fact, I want to just show you a little bit more video. This is Bintz and Conger as they left another one of those police questionings earlier today.
Piles of media around them.
You know why the other one got off? Because he was a minor, I'm sure.
The fourth one?
Well, one of them, right? Didn't one of them?
Yeah, one of them's not being accounted for here. I don't know what that story is. But look at the crap these guys are taking. I mean, they're stuck there. And no wonder the guy ratted him out and said, he did most of the damage.
Thanks, Lochte.
And Lochte's not sitting there feeling sorry for these guys either.
No, he's home.
Out wallet chopping.
I was smart enough to fly out of there. He says, those idiots stayed behind.
Day, they're expected to try to find a flight back to the United States in the next coming days. Now, as for Lochte and Feagan, if they are charged with a crime and convicted of a crime here in Brazil, it is very unlikely that they will have to serve any jail time. Instead, they will most likely have to serve some sort of community service and pay a fine. But the police here in Rio de Janeiro say that those athletes should apologize to the people of Rio for what they say has turned out to be a lie.
I think they should make him
back to you.
They should make him clean toilets and gas stations.
He will never do that community service. Never.
Then he'll be paying someone to do it. There will be no end to the amount he'll pay someone. But oh my God, does he look bad here? First of all, I want to know, did the other three guys tell this story, or did just he tell this story? Because he's the only one on camera telling the story.
No one else has popped off, right?
Not really. I mean, I think they tried to corroborate, but it seems to me that he's engineered this whole disaster. And now he's caught on camera till the end of time, just like, I did not have sex with that woman, Lewinsky. You know, he's like with, I got pulled over by police. They stole my wallet. They left my phone behind. I mean, he's really fucked because that is going to be played over and over.
Oh,
I'm surprised
yes.
he didn't play him talking to Costas, whatever that audio was. Oh, you dick. And to think today, or actually.
Where are you at? Where are you at, Lochte?
He's out buying a new wallet.
He's quiet.
Buying a second wallet.
I saw an article. He's in his lover's arms.
Oh, is that so?
Safe and home.
Who is his lover?
Let's look her up.
He's got some model slash actress,
oh,
no
I'm
doubt.
Sure, she's gorgeous.
You know, just looking back on this, he's old enough that as this thing started to take the left turn, he should have talked to his. He's got to have a PR person, right?
Oh, for sure.
Shouldn't he have fessed up to the PR person and said, "Okay, here's what really happened," and then they would have said, "Okay, you've got to call a press conference." And you got to apologize. You got to tell the exact truth before anyone else tells it. Apologize. Try to cry. You know, take an onion or whatever before you go out there. Shed a few tears. Take the blame. Say, I'm the oldest. And, you know, I was more involved probably than anyone. Take the whole rap. And then you'll actually look good for apologizing for your mistake. Now he looks like such an ass. And to think that they're talking about the guys who are stuck there in Rio apologizing. Well, he's at home not doing anything.
And he hasn't said a word. He's quiet, sitting at home. These kids, they took their passports.
His dad is talking for him.
Right. What a pansy.
Seriously, he has to call a press conference and apologize. What an idiot, man. That's like public relations 101. Come on, Lochte.
I'm so hoping there's another twist to make him look even worse.
Some whores. Some whores they picked up in the taxi on the way home. Who took the rest of their money?
Check out his girlfriend.
Jeez. Like transvestite whores or something.
She's a Playboy model.
Oh, my. She's rather attractive. Kayla Ray Reed. Oh, she's an Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind? Oh, no. No, she's on the beach.
That's his
Eternal
ex. Sunshine. No more. His net worth is going nothing but downhill. She's so gone.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
She's
gone. Should dump him. Oh, my God. What a screw up. And how the handling of it, though, is what's killing me. Yeah. He's so fucking up.
He's a meathead.
God, what a jackass. And, you know, to think that not only that, he's got the stupid hair. So he's telling this story about being robbed, you know, at gunpoint with this stupid hair. I mean, all you can do is go, look at that stupid hair as he talks about this, as he tells this dumb lie. Just looks like such an idiot. And he's 32. Come on, man. Phelps is how old? 30?
I think he's the same age.
Oh, he's the same age? Okay. Well, Phelps is not exactly.
Well, he's looking
together.
He's looking good now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. He did
I guess
the past.
So. Are you tired of Boomer?
Oh, for sure. Boomers.
I am so Phelpsed out. I'm so Boomered out.
I hope Boomer's afraid of water. I do not want Boomer.
Oh, yeah. No.
I saw him. He was yelling at some local news that caught Phelps coming off the plane today, and they, hey, how was Rio? And he was with his child. He's like, I'm trying to get my family home safe. Leave me alone. I'm not answering any questions. He was very upset.
Really? He was a dick?
Yeah. Yeah.
No way. Oh, that was dumb. Do we have the audio of that?
Yeah. We should be able to find that one.
What a cheese ball. Oh, by the way, I I'm really intrigued by Michael Phelps because there's something really wrong with this guy. I mean, he's a great swimmer. I mean, he's the best swimmer. And he seems like a pretty good guy and all, but something's just
you mean
not
physically,
quite,
like his head?
No, his head, like mentally. Something's kind of wrong with him.
Right.
And I, you know, I really didn't know that much about him. But then I saw after he won one of his medals, his mom was running her fingers through his hair.
Oh,
she was
like, boy.
She was like, yeah, it was really like, you know, mommy's little boy. Mommy's little boy had a good race. And it just looked so, I was just cringing. It was so awful. And the fiance was right there too. It's like,
is that the maid or something? And they're just calling her the fiance.
I don't know.
Because he lives with mom. And
well, you know, the child was born out of wedlock, which is not being discussed too terribly much. Have you noticed? No. They just talk about Boomer and the his girlfriend, quote unquote, but
they're too big.
Yeah, the kid's got headphones. Oh, no.
And then they're huge. It's like, can't you find some afford a small pair or custom pair?
Well, Drew Brees' kid had the giant headphones, too, at the Super Bowl. God, I hate that. That just looks so precious child.
I have something running through my head now that you're talking about Phelps and his mom, because his mom gets a lot of attention. And, you know, the way she was stroking his hair was kind of...
It was just cringy, kinda, just so cringy. And mommy was also wearing a... It was like a jacket, but not like your basic sports jacket. It was like a long jacket, and it had the MP logo on the front.
Oh, boy.
And I could see mommy special ordering her own MP wear.
I thought you were going to say she was wearing his varsity jacket from high school or something.
Oh, no. She gets her own Michael
Phelps custom made.
No doubt.
You know he lives it. He built a house, and... So
I'm sure she's got some giant house thanks to him. Okay, so here's Phelps at the airport being a dick.
I'm not answering any questions, guys. If you could give me that space while I try to get my family home and safe, I would appreciate that. If you guys want to do an interview, you can contact my agency.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I'm sure you can do that right up.
And there's a longer one, too, in which the anchors were like, well, you know, you got to respect that. He's worked so hard, and he just wants his family now.
You know what I would say to that? I would say, fuck you. When you want the camera to celebrate your wonderful gold medals and all the millions you're going to make, you know, of course, you invite the camera and you know, you're so happy to have all the publicity, which is making your life this wonderful multi-gazillion dollar affair. But then when, you know, it's a little annoying at the airport, then it's fuck you. Get the camera away from me. I hate that. I mean, doesn't that suck? People that
step up.
Who so... invite the cameras when it's to their benefit, but when it's a little inconvenient, all of a sudden they turn dick.
Oh, yeah.
Like Halle Berry. There's a child! There's a child! There's a child! Oh, God, that is just that is so annoying. As if someone takes a picture, something horrible is going to become of this child.
Is it going to blind your child for, you know, it's like, get your child some shades then.
And if you're so worried about the paparazzi, then why are you carrying your child everywhere? Why are you going on this trip with your child? My God, of course the paparazzi are going to be on your ass. Can you find that, by the way? I'm dying to hear it. Listen to the drama in Halle Berry's voice. There's a child! Is it there's a child? She keeps saying the same thing. And she's with that guy from, oh God, her...
The model?
Her latest. No, he's a movie star.
Her new boy toy?
Yeah. He was in the movie with Diane Lane where she was Richard Gere's wife and she fell in love with the bookstore guy.
Oh, yeah.
She's with the bookstore guy.
He's a young guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a lot younger than her.
Is it Gabriel Aubrey?
No.
No, that's the ex, I think. Okay. Of course, she was with David Justice and, and she will tell...
She ruined his fucking...
Anyone! Yeah. Anyone who has a minute to listen to her, she will tell them how horrible he was and all the terrible things he did to her, which is mostly...
Because she deserved whatever she got.
Justice.
I don't see her as being low maintenance at all.
No, she's right up there with Julie. Maybe not quite that bad.
There's, of course, the Dorothy Dandridge speech she won. You know, we had this series of female winning Oscar people giving crazy speeches, starting with Gwyneth Paltrow, of course.
She started it all.
I think she started it. Yeah. But there was a string of them because Julia Roberts, remember, she
and
turn that light off and be up here for a while. And Halle Berry also bawling her eyes out. Did you find it, Jay?
She was good in Swordfish, though. I thought that was a good...
And while Jay's looking, of course, we learned today that the incredible assistance fund for people who cannot afford water in the city of Detroit, $4.5 million, has been virtually depleted. Now, somebody's arguing about this, but it sounds like so many people have signed up for assistance that they've gone through over $4 million assisting people with their water bills.
Didn't they expect that?
I think they thought $4.5 million was going to be enough.
Wasn't there something else they could kind of use to budget and compare it to? No?
Well, here's the thing. Half the city didn't pay the water bill. Half. Half the residents of Detroit did not pay their water bill. There was no penalty. They let them build up giant balances. And then when Mike Duggan came in and said, we have $20 million in arrears for water. That's bull crap, and we're not doing that anymore. You're paying your water bill, or you're getting your water cut off, like any other city in America, by the way, and that's true. Everyone else does that, including West Bloomfield. I went through it. Never got my water cut off, but they were going to cut it off. So they begged people to sign up for assistance if they couldn't afford their water bill, which is ridiculous. If you can't afford your water bill, you better move. You can't afford to live where you live. If you can't afford your water bill, you can't afford to live where you live. But no, that's not how Detroit works. They ended up with 25% signed up for assistance. So instead of 50% not paying the bill, we now have another 25 apparently paying their water bill and another 25 paying it with
assistance. So are they worse off now?
They're what?
Are they worse off now?
No, they've actually collected a lot of arrears money.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
they have.
Okay.
I think it's like a couple million bucks.
Really?
Yeah.
They stepped up.
However, they also have 25% of the city, which they basically, I guess, promised to assist them until the end of time with their water bill. I mean,
it's grandfathered forever?
Well, nice. I don't know. I just don't think the people are going to say, hey, I can handle the water bill now.
Yeah, no one's going to volunteer.
People don't think they should have to pay for water.
So what's next? Really cable? Free cable?
Well, we'll see. There's a lot of property taxes that aren't being paid and haven't been paid for many, many years by many people. And the excuse there is, hey, there's businesses that haven't paid their property taxes. So why are you coming after me when there's businesses that haven't paid it? Which is like, what do you mean? Because someone else hasn't paid, you don't have to pay? What's that all about?
Didn't they make same thing with parking tickets and they basically just washed it free and clear and started over? And Parking tickets.
They've had amnesties. Where I don't know if they let people off completely, but I've never seen a city where you can get away with not paying for so many things and still stay in a home or stay in a car or whatever. My understanding is nobody in Detroit has car insurance. It's so expensive that people just don't get it. And a lot of people don't get their driver's license either. They just buy a car and maybe they insure it for a month. Because you can do that. You can insure a car for a month.
Yeah, because you can't buy a car.
No.
Without,
you have to get the insurance, right. And what you do is you get the six-month insurance, and you pay it monthly. You pay the first month, you never pay
another
dime.
Paying and just,
yeah. Because it's, you know, like that lady LaDuff did the story on. She had a 2002 car or something. It had 60,000 miles on it, and her insurance was $6,000 a year. She had a clean driving record.
So like, let's say you wreck somebody. They don't have insurance, so they sue, and your insurance company ends up paying
them? Well, the first thing you do is you leave the scene. Yeah, okay. As you know, everyone leaves the scene in Detroit. No one stops at a car accident. Even if you had a person, you don't stop.
I like it. Like, just like a rear end?
Oh, I mean, seriously, though, watching the news, isn't it amazing how many hit and runs there are in Detroit? Everything's a hit and run. Nobody stops. Okay, I think we got Miss Halle Berry. Looking for There's a Child. Is she with Oliver Martinez? My God, there's so many paparazzi.
Get up, get up. Get up, motherfucker.
Come on, Hallie.
Come on, guys, out of the way. Out of the way.
I was away, you guys. Excuse me, guys.
Just wait a little. Get away, it's a child.
I got it. Hey, God.
Jesus.
I got it.
What's wrong with the people? It's a child.
Why you shoot me? Why you shoot me? Why you shoot me?
What? That's a child here. That's why, you idiot.
Hey, oh, yeah. Nobody takes a picture of a child. No one ever takes a picture of a child.
Hey, man, you push her. You push me. You push me. You push me. You like to push me.
Now, while Jake on this one, I actually found a whole bunch of different blow-ups.
Oh, cool.
I found two other ones.
There's a child, you idiot. No one takes a picture of a child. God, who has baby pictures?
Ugh. It's got to be tough.
Gee, every time you walk somewhere, there's 10 people taking pictures of you at all times. Oh, what a surprise.
We are in your child.
Why
you
shoot me?
That's a child here. That's why, you idiot.
Yeah. Oh, of course nobody takes a picture of a child. She just shoves her husband in the car. I mean, just shoved him. Oh, my God. What about Kurt in the pool? Didn't we talk about Kurt in the pool?
There's a website here that has all the, it's fascinating.
You mean the current in the, in the Rio pool?
Yeah.
12.2 seconds was what we had. Does it look like it's higher?
Hold on.
I mean, they're going to try and downplay this all they can. They don't want anybody
Yeah, they went in and
somebody didn't get a medal they should have.
Basically made a spreadsheet and entered all the times and the lanes. It's
I mean, what's different than what
Well, it says the in the men's and women's semifinals, 15 of the 16 swimmers who qualified for the final
yeah.
came from lanes 4 to 8, which swam with...
there's only one medal from lanes 1 to 4.
Wow.
So, yeah, obviously.
And it's only in the like the 50 meter, you know, it didn't really affect the long distance. You know,
yeah, well, 0.2 in a long race. But, yeah, in the short ones, absolutely, it can be.
And it's because they started at the opposite end of the pool as well. That's another
reason. Well, I was going to ask because, you know, a lot of these, obviously they go back and forth, so wouldn't it be detrimental to them going against the current?
Well, in the 50, you know, it's just one shot, right? Or is it?
Well, maybe just the 50, right. But, I mean, these are all 100, 200, 400s. Right. And so, you know, maybe you do have one. You know, one way is fast, but wouldn't the other way be a lot more difficult? You're going against the current.
Going with it, you mean? It would benefit you?
Obviously. Well,
going with the current, yeah, it's
obviously
huge.
Going with it, right. But then if you got to turn around like they do, it'd be detrimental.
So in a longer race, it would even out, you would think.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't even thought about that. But is the 50, is that when you only go one length of the pool? You don't turn around?
Right.
Yeah. That's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, but 15 out of 16, that's still... So that one race was clearly, obviously, impacted. And all the heats were impacted.
Yeah. Well, the winner... excuse me. The men's and women's 50. One was lane... The woman's winner was lane 3, and the men's was lane 4.
So the chicken lane 3 obviously swam her ass off. It's 4 through 8 of the current...
And then later race... Wow, this is just blows my mind. They're redoing it. It says right here, redo. Yeah. Lochte.
Oh, after
Lochte's got to go back.
Yeah. Okay, that'd be a good way. That's a way to get him back there.
Right. Yep.
I don't think he'd even go back there if he had a chance to win another medal. There's no way he's going back there. But honestly, I still can't get over that he's not in front of a camera right now or any minute now.
I think every minute that goes by is just making him look like more of an.
Yeah, the story lives. Yeah. The story goes on. It's the lead story. All he has to do. Is apologize and say, here's what really happened. It's my fault. I'm so sorry to these younger swimmers. It was terrible judgment. I take the full rap for it, and I apologize to the Olympic Committee. I'm so sorry that I made people in Brazil look bad and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then people, they'll sympathize with him, especially if he cries.
Well, maybe there's something, another bomb he's waiting on. It's, you know, it's not over yet.
Well, maybe because his most recent tweet, aside from retweets, is my hair is going back to its normal color tomorrow.
So. Oh, and he thinks that people are going to actually pay attention to stuff like that.
He's got his priorities.
Are you kidding?
Didn't it also say it matches his new wallet?
The new wallet. What if...
I can't get over that.
How could he be dumb enough?
Now the dad's an asshole.
Oh, I know. Dad's involved. Yeah. How could he go through the security of the airport with a wallet? That was really dumb. I mean, and how, by the way, did they all hide their wallets when they went back to the Olympic Village? And when they were interviewed the next day, did they pretend their wallets didn't exist anymore? I mean, I imagine they did.
Just think of all the, like, events he's scheduled to be at, like speeches and, you know, every lined up.
No, those will be canceled.
They're over. I think they should just make him do it just for punishment.
Well, once he apologizes, he can get back to doing all that crap, though. I mean, that's what's so stupid about this. It's PR 101, and he's, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't have a PR person. I would assume he does.
And he hasn't retired. He didn't say.
No, he's racing in 2020. He already said that.
He was.
Oh, well, no, he'll need the money since he's blown all the money from this year.
You think the U.S. would allow him if he earned it?
Oh, yeah, they'll forgive him. They already, I mean, the guy at U.S. guy was already saying, oh, they're kids and you make mistakes.
Wasn't it the Brazilian guy?
Was it the Brazilian guy?
Yeah.
The Brazilian guys have been busting their balls. I mean, they're pissed because he embarrassed the country. But anyway, enough Ryan Lochte, idiot. Although I am looking forward to his apology. That'll be one nerve-wracking deal for him. Anyway, it's talking about the water assistance thing. I mean, I can't believe the water's come up once again because, oh, my God, they're running out of money to help people pay their bills, which the idea that 25% of a city here, I mean, these programs exist on a very small scale in other cities, very small scale. I mean, we're talking nowhere near millions of dollars in this kind of program. It would be like DTE has the program, and they have a small amount of money set aside for people who are, you know, having problems or whatever. And they're temporary things. They're not meant to be. They're just little band-aids. They're not meant to be lifetime assistance like these water people who have all been on this for over a year now. I don't know if they're going to raise more. They're talking about raising more money. In other words, so these people can continue to not pay their water bills or to pay a small percentage of it, and the assistance pays the rest. Now the city is going after. I mean, I have to give Duggan credit for trying to stop the whole deadbeat thing in Detroit, which is what an all-day job this is. I mean, honestly, you cannot pay for almost anything in the city, and you still stay in your house. There's people, thousands, tens of thousands of people who have not paid property taxes in years, and they're not kicked out of their homes. Now, part of that is probably because once somebody leaves their home, it's immediately trashed for scrap and has to be demolished.
Right.
Has to be demolished by this. It becomes a drug house, crime house, whatever. And then has to be demolished, which costs anywhere from $10,000 to $16,000, depending on who's demolishing it and what the deal is. So you don't want people to get out of their houses. But this thing of not paying property taxes has been going on for decades. And they don't kick people out. So anyway, the big excuse has been, but there's corporations that haven't either, and they owe more. So go after them, and then go after me.
Oh, that's...
I know they used they used the Joe as the big
Water Joe Louis Arena, which is in dispute, by the way. I mean, it's Detroit logic when it comes to paying for things. It's almost, there's nothing quite like it. So here they are, finally, the city is going after, and they're making quite a to-do over it, that they're going after the corporations that haven't paid their taxes. And this is, once again, amazing. Companies that have not paid property taxes in years, some 5 years, 10 years. Why? Who? I mean, we're talking about multiple mayors that this went on during. Why is Mike Duggan the first guy that wants to make people pay their bills? This is so basic. Detroit has the lowest revenue stream of property taxes. They took the 50 largest cities in America. Detroit was, at that time, I want to say like the 13th or 14th largest city. Guess where Detroit ranked in terms of revenue from property taxes?
That's last.
50th. 50th.
Right.
In other words, there's cities that are literally, hundreds of thousands less people.
Right. That smaller populace.
That get much more. I mean, much more property taxes. And the difference, you know, as you go from city to city, it's like, a few hundred thousand dollars between 47 and 48 and 48 and 49. And then the difference between 49 and Detroit is hundreds of millions of dollars. It's a huge difference. It's like it's almost not even a revenue stream. It's such a small amount of money. So, I mean, I just don't get how it is that this went on for all this time, that Mike Duggan is the first guy that said, you know what, if you live in a house, you got to pay property taxes or you can't live in the house.
Newsflash. because none of the other ones gave a shit because they were too busy scamming themselves, right?
It's just so bizarre, though.
Because of the post-bankruptcy?
You mean Detroit bankruptcy?
Maybe that's why Duggan's doing that.
Well, I assume that Duggan's doing it because you pay property to anybody
because
pays your property.
You're supposed to do it.
Right.
Do it. Is there like... Does it say what the criteria is, like, to meet, to get the help or the assistance? Is there, like...
For the water?
Yes.
Yeah, you're supposed to be 150% below the poverty line.
Okay.
They described as a family of four that has income of $36,000. Now, I would think an income of $36,000, you could find $60 for the water bill.
You think.
You would think.
I'd like to know if they had like premium channels on their cable, you know.
Well, that's the big joke. When they had the line, which was most people didn't bother with this assistance program until it was the day before you had to do it or get your water cut off. And then all of a sudden you got a line like four blocks long for people trying to get their water situation fixed. Jeez. And guess what you saw in that line over and over and over? In fact, I think it was Channel 4 pointed it out. Tons, virtually everyone in line on their iPhone.
Wow.
On their iPhone. Somehow they managed to have an iPhone, yet they can't pay their water bill. Isn't that strange? And, of course, many people pointed out that, or at least speculated on, I wonder how many of these people have cable. Because, gee, cable is a lot more expensive than a water bill. Well, Guess what? Guess what else people steal in Detroit? Cable!
Everything.
Cable!
Electricity.
Electricity. Electricity out the ass.
Rims and tires.
When, Channel 7. The guy that left Channel 7 who's in a couple of movies, Bill Spencer. Bill Spencer did the story on that, and he actually went after people who were stealing electricity.
Is it at nighttime usually?
I don't know. It's all the time. They went and caught people stealing electricity three or four times. The same person. It's like, okay, you can't do that. And DTE would, whatever they had to do, they'd unhook it. And Bill would go back 3 days later, hook back up. Same thing. In some cases, three or four times. But anyway, he told me, and this wasn't, I don't know if it was in the story or not, but the percentage was incredible as to the amount of people and the amount of money that they were spending trying to nail people who were stealing electricity. It was just, I don't know, I just don't know any city that operates like this. I mean, I was wondering the other day, how many cities have to constantly be knocking down houses because Detroit has... I'm not sure what the number is now, but at one time there were 100,000 structures that needed knocking down, including, you know, homes and then other formerly business structures or whatever. They're no longer inhabited. But I've never lived in a city where you constantly were trying to figure out, how do we knock down more houses? I mean, this is just a really unique and ridiculous problem.
Well, it's a big problem because they didn't let it fester as well. Like a lot of big cities, you know, they just do it as needed, correct? Detroit, they just didn't do a thing for so many years. They just let everything go. Look at the lighting, the lights in the streets, pretty much the whole city.
Oh, well, yeah, a city that is not lit.
Yeah,
a city that has especially 60% of its lights are out.
Right.
What?
And
what?
It's Detroit. It's
a big metropolitan city with major league sports teams. You know, you got an NFL team, a major league baseball. What?
Imagine like New York with... You know, no light.
No, it would never happen. But, you know, so much of it, of course, has to do with the fact that you've got all these people leaving the city and leaving properties behind and, you know, leaving holes in all these revenue streams. I mean, the fact that from literally 19, I think it starts in the early 60s where you see the outflow of people from the city, it's amazing to me that it literally took 50 years for someone to finally start focusing on, okay, we have to stop this outflow of people. And people would talk about it, but there was really nothing ever done to keep people in the city. Wouldn't you think there would have been incentive programs and maybe tax-free for 5 years if you move here? I mean, there was never a decent program that I can recall.
I mean, there was incentives to show up for class there in the census.
Oh,
you know, I mean...
This is another thing I've never heard of. In fact, they were talking about this today in the news. City of Wayne students, your first day of school, free backpacks full of supplies, and four people got free bicycles if you show up. And apparently, it's a big incentive. Apparently, a lot of kids wouldn't show up the first day.
And they miss out on, federal funding, correct?
No, they lose a lot of money.
Right.
For sure.
I mean, you have to go to school, right?
I never could imagine missing the first day of school either.
There no truancy officers there anymore?
the truancy numbers are so
staggering.
Absolutely staggering. And, you know, who do you blame for that? I don't even blame the kids.
It's the parents. I mean,
yeah, it's absolutely pathetic.
Have a child. We don't care.
So how do you stop? Duggan going in and tempting, you know, trying to take care of all these things, all these revenue streams that don't exist in a major metropolitan city.
Well, I guess you got to look at it this way, Drew. What's better, to have a house vacant or let somebody live there and not pay the taxes?
They're trying to achieve both things by keeping people in their homes and also collecting taxes. And
is it possible in Detroit?
It's a constant tap dance. You know, who would have thought that Mike Duggan could get this city lit up in the amount of time it took him to light the city? I mean,
he's done great things for the city, no doubt.
I think he has. LaDuff argues with me. No. He feels it's not it. That was the lighting department that did that. But no other mayor could get the lighting department to do that.
Right.
So I have to give him some credit.
He's gotten more done than all of them that I could remember combined.
But unfortunately, he's gotten this done. He's got the FBI on his ass. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to come. I mean, this could be another disaster. I don't know. I can't see this guy going to trial either. I see some kind of a plea deal if it gets that far. He's certainly a lot smarter than Kwame Kilpatrick.
Plus, Drew, what does the city need? Stability. A mayor that's really cares. Like he was trying and is trying. You can't say that about...
No, the city needs constant... needs leadership, and it needs consistent leadership, and it needs the same leadership, in my opinion.
Who was the mayor that left after his first term? He was pretty good.
Archer.
I mean, he just said, I'm out of here.
Oh, yeah. No, he was so overwhelmed and just thought, this is the most ridiculous job. How can anyone want this job? And
no win.
I don't blame him. I mean... Yeah. Didn't he serve two terms?
Oh, he did? Okay.
I thought he did. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Kwame served two terms.
He was from 94 to 01, so he was there.
Oh, well, what's a term, 6 years?
Yeah, one term. He was there one term.
Okay, one term. Wow, that's really... I mean, you would have... I totally expected him to be... I would have thought he would have been mayor for life almost.
And then what about Bing?
Yeah, the Binger.
What did he do?
The Binger. He was a one-termer, wasn't he? Uh-huh. And let's see. Yeah, he was one term. And, of course, Mike Duggan after that. I every time I turn the TV, I feel like the cake drop kicker is on there.
Oh, yeah.
This story just has no end in sight.
I like what she did with her hair.
Yeah, she dyed her hair blonde. Isn't that hilarious? Now, did she do that to avoid being identified? She must have.
Probably.
Because she doesn't strike me as a blonde.
The mugshot gets out. She's a brunette, and so she goes and dyes her hair. That way no one recognizes her.
And the more I see that love tap, I'm in complete disbelief that someone would file a civil suit. A civil suit over that. Now, you can't hit someone who serves ice cream, but, you know, unless you were... badly injured, how do you collect on a civil suit for that?
After watching the replay over and over and over, it did not look like it was going to be a hit that would develop a golf ball size knot on the head
with a scab.
After 24 hours. So that's a fast healing scab, too.
I cannot believe that that truly happened. I feel like someone else hit her somewhere else, and she mistook it for this chick hitting her. And this chick is a nut. I mean, she is...
Right.
She's got an assault charge from 2004. She has she assaulted someone at work. How do you keep your job when you assault someone? I don't get that.
She assaults pastries.
As the Southgate police chief.
Yeah, well, the Southgate police chief, that's one assault. It's a chick, though, and he broke her cheekbone, her nose, and she had a hemorrhage in her eye. I always thought that when you had a domestic assault, that first of all, you lost your right to carry a weapon.
Yep.
So it must not have been a felony, right? Because if it's not a felony, you could still have a weapon. If it's a felony, you can't have a gun.
Yeah, or you can have it taken away for a period.
I saw earlier he said his excuse, or one of his excuses. It was 12 years ago. I've moved on.
Oh, yeah.
12 years ago.
He also called it embarrassing, and I was like, embarrassing is the wrong word for that. That's way beyond embarrassing.
I'm ashamed.
To punch a chick in the face and cause that much damage, and they make him the police chief? That's so screwed up. I mean, whoever's decision that was so badly misjudged the public, especially in this day and age. You cannot do that. How did that happen? But the drop kicker, again, she had that thing hanging in at Ray's Ice Cream. She thought she got away with that. And then she drop-kicked the ice cream cake and the Batman versus Superman cake, which, again, was her kid's birthday. I'm beginning to think she doesn't even have kids, and these kids' birthdays are just bullshit stories.
It's the first thing that pops up.
My kid's birthday. Exactly. I know, because who's going to deny you the right to give your child a wonderful cake or to give him Mackinac nut ice cream?
Mackinac Island birthday? Fudge.
But she's working with Lochte's guy on excuses, I guess. Jesus.
No doubt. I mean, how could you justify hitting someone over no Mackinac fudge ice cream or whatever because it's your kid's birthday, and then drop kick a cake, a Batman versus Superman cake, on your kid's? That would have been his next birthday, I guess. I wonder if the date was the same or close to the
same. That's exactly what I was thinking. It's probably the exact same week, you know, just 1 year apart.
It seemed like it is fairly close together, or close. I mean, I think that might work. I mean, to in her favor. Not that there's any defense for it anyway, but you know, she drop kicked the cake, and then she also kicked the, was it the wet floor sign on her way out? Mark loves that part of the story. That's his favorite part. But apparently she kept her job. After assaulting this person at work, apparently she's still...
she must perform. Otherwise,
gets the job done.
Yeah.
But, God, that is just... I mean, I just am dying to know what else is going on in this person's life. So weird.
Or who her submissive boyfriend slash husband is, who just takes this abuse
what, and what
after
her
day.
Kid, too. What can that be like, being her kid? I mean, well, at least she goes to bat for you. I mean, you know, nobody else is going to screw you over. The French are getting attacked for, this is bizarre, you know, to think of what people call racist or xenophobic behavior or suggestions over here. Like, you know, Trump can't, anything he suggests regarding immigration, he's immediately called a racist or a xenophobe or whatever. If he were in France, I think they would say he has a lot of great ideas, because the French are, they are so far ahead of us in terms of, well, I say ahead of us, many would say behind us. I'm not sure how to characterize it. The French are just so further ahead of us in terms of demanding assimilation and, you know, being a part of their society and the way they do things. And we really don't care what your religion is. You don't come in here and tell us how it's going to be. And I mention that because the burkinis, they've actually banned the burkini, which is what you have basically is a Muslim woman on a beach wearing head to toe a piece of an article of clothing that is from head to toe, covers everything but her face. And it's interesting. I was trying to figure out how do they, I mean, like, what's the justification for that? I'm amazed anyone ever even brought it up. But
because like a beach is made for like skin. Is that what they're saying? You know, like.
They kind of are saying that. Male officials are dictating what women can wear on French beaches, and people across a wide swath of French society say that's a good thing. To many Muslim women, that's pure hypocrisy. They see the burkini bans themselves as sexist, not to mention racist, and a reactionary backlash to terrorism fears. Now, they've really learned the language to battle these things, of course. Even though it's only worn by a tiny minority, the burkini has prompted a national discussion about Islam and women's bodies. At least five towns have banned them this summer, and others are threatening to follow suit. The prime minister says the swimsuit reflects a worldview based on the enslavement of women.
Wow.
In other words, what he's saying is you cannot force a woman, I mean, you can't, as a group, organization, religion, what have you, you cannot force a woman to wear something that tells her how much she has to cover up or not cover up.
It makes sense.
It does make sense, except that it's a religion. Okay. That's what's so weird about it. This is not compatible with the values of France. That's the prime minister.
Did they make a recommendation? Like they prefer thongs or, you know, Brazilian bikinis?
They do not. But just that this is not, it's up to a woman what she wears on a beach, and we don't want to see these things. Women's rights imply the right for a woman to cover up, said so-and-so, a Muslim who was born and raised in France. The burkini was created by Western Muslim women who wanted to conciliate their faith and desire to dress modestly with recreational activities. And then, of course, they have a series of people who are just blasting that and saying it just does not, it's just inconsistent with French values.
Isn't
to tell a woman
shocking?
What she has to wear.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, for France?
But, you know, they also ban burkas in certain cases, too.
Really?
The French. Yeah. No, it's that's what I'm saying. It's unbelievable the way they are handling certain things in comparison to, you know, Trump makes the most mild suggestion and bam. I mean, people just go crazy on him. Not that he's made a lot of great suggestions, but, you know, he's trying to achieve the same thing the French are, I think. It's just, you know, different substance.
This is pretty sudden, correct?
No, the French have kind of been at war with certain aspects of Islam for a while.
For like a decade? A couple decades? I mean,
probably more like 4 or 5 years, I would guess. Okay. You know, I can't say perfectly. Okay. But, you know, for example, what happened in the south of France with the you know, the mauling these people with this giant truck.
Right.
You know, stuff like that.
Sure.
They don't just sit back and take that stuff. It's okay,
they
something.
They go knocking on doors.
Something has got to happen here.
The Charlie Hebdo.
We have to fight this. And they don't feel that it's enough to just fight it with basic laws. They feel that...
they're proactive.
They're very proactive. Yeah, and you know, this is, again, this is along the lines of what Trump is talking about in terms of assimilation,
right,
along the lines of what I think Switzerland's talking about in regards with assimilation. Switzerland said, you will be deported from this country before you will tell us that you will not shake a woman's hand in school. Because in this country, we shake the teacher's hand at the end of class, and if you're not willing to do that, then you're not made to be in this country. Now, it seems a bit strong to me, but there's another side of me that says, you know, I like that. I like somebody,
right?
Because I think it's ludicrous what's happened in this country, where instead of asking people to assimilate to the United States, if you enter the country, and we're not forcing anyone to be a certain religion, we have all our freedoms, and we're very serious about that. But to think that.
And the backlash you get for just suggesting or asking.
It's incredible. It's like, the backlash you get for example, in, I think it was a part of Minnesota where they knew there were a lot of illegal immigrants because of this particular factory there, which was hiring.
Somalians, right?
I don't know if it was Somalians or not, but when they were pulling people over, they were asking about their citizenship. And immediately the ACLU, you shouldn't be asking me about their citizenship when you pull them over. And they were saying, well, we sort of knew, we had a pretty good idea, but that has nothing to do with the traffic stop. And it's like, it turns out they were right in many cases, and they jailed the people who were there illegally, and then this became a huge mess. And, of course, guess who won?
They did.
They did.
Yeah.
They did.
You have more rights as an illegal sometimes. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and in fact, to think that an illegal immigrant, and this has been discussed and argued, that illegal immigrants are getting driver's licenses, and that this has been discussed, and that more people than not say, well, if sure you can get them a driver's license. They can't do a damn thing here without a driver's license. Well, no, wait a second. They're not supposed to be here. They're here illegally. What are you talking about, a driver's license? How is that even an issue?
It should be. It's black and white. You can't have one. It makes no sense.
What's that, Australia, Jay?
The garment designer, the people that make the burkinis.
Oh, says the French are digging a hole for themselves by banning the burkini?
Because they say that they won't stop wearing it. They'll just go somewhere else for their holidays.
They'll let them go.
Oh, yeah, go somewhere else. See? It won't be in France, though.
Yeah, here's one French official.
That would make them happy.
He calls them the burkinis a threat to public order, a threat to hygiene, water safety, morality, and the clothing conveys an allegiance to a terrorist movement that's waging war against France.
Well, France is experiencing terrorism on
tragic.
a level that we really are just kind of touching.
And that's where we're on our way to that level, though. That's the scary thing.
We are. We seem to be. And I think, you know, that's what Trump is trying to suggest and not very successfully.
Well, but, some would say that it's too late in Europe. It's already, the damage is already done.
Oh, in France, it probably is. France, you have a lot of... you have a lot of poor Muslims, and they are very angry at the French government for not doing more for them. And when I say that, we're talking about jobs, economics. They're kind of a lot of them are in one section of Paris, for example, which is low income public housing, and they feel they should have better housing. They want more. They want more assimilation to them and their prayer needs and, you know, all that stuff.
So they want like a beach house, you know,
for
you know, beach house. And
that'd be a start. You know, okay, that'd be a start.
Makes unbelievable.
It's
sad.
No, it's really sad. And,
it is.
And then you've got the radical element, of course, which is very strong in France. And, you know, they've had a number of terrorist events. But they seem to me as if they're frightened by the entire... the broad swath of the Muslim religion, not like, just the terrorists, but they feel that there's an undercurrent in the Muslim religion, I think, that is somehow threatening to them, and I'm not sure I'm explaining it very well. Or
I get that. Isn't it kind of like almost like a numbers game?
The numbers are getting bigger.
They're getting close to surpassing, you know, there'd be the majority.
Well, there are a lot of Muslims in France, and they're very unhappy, very unhappy. And I think they feel like that's a brewing storm to go along with or go alongside of the terrorist element, which is, I mean, France is, I don't know. I feel like there are going to be horrible, horrible things happen in that country. Like, I mean, it seems like it could happen anywhere.
Like 10 years ago, you talk about like taking a great romantic vacation, you know, go to Paris. Like, would you seriously even consider going?
I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm that freaked out by it. I mean, there's been, I could run down the incidents that have been there. I don't know if I'm that afraid or if I'm one of those people that says, they're not going to let me, they're not going to tell me how to live my life. But on the other hand, if I really did feel threatened, they would tell me how to live my life because I wouldn't go if I felt that concerned. But I feel like this is just me, and I'm not saying what the answer is, but I feel like America, a huge part of America, is not afraid enough, that they're not concerned enough. That
I'm with you.
That it's just, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that, and we've got great intelligence, and they're doing the best they can, and I don't know. I'm not all that happy with the way...
The road we're going down right now is... kind of frightening, to be honest with you.
Well, when the president won't even say radical Islam because he's afraid of offending Muslims, and it wasn't Trump, somebody else just recently, it might have been Giuliani or somebody said, wait a second, no, you're talking about Muslims and you're talking about terrorists, radical Muslims. It's not the same thing. When you say radical Islamics, you're not talking about Muslims, and anybody who doesn't understand that isn't listening.
Right.
I don't think it's hard to understand. And every time, you know, we had the Fort Hood incident, well, more than an incident, what happened at Fort Hood, and all those things. To think that literally days go by before the person's identified,
right,
or before anyone is willing to call it terrorism, it's like, come on.
It's just making
terrorism.
It worse.
Exactly. Right. It's terrorism until proven otherwise, and there's no need to be polite about it. Political correctness just has to get fucked when it comes to terrorism. And I don't want people doing cruel things to everyday Muslims who are trying to live their life in America. And I think most people feel that way, too. They don't want innocent people to be caught up in this or for Muslims to be broad-brushed by radical Islam, which is something we consider to be entirely different.
Since when does saying Muslims, he said Muslim. He didn't say radical or he didn't, you know, there's... good and bad in every color, race, you know.
I understand the difference. I don't think it's hard at all. I don't know. I mean, the president, though, the president won't say it. I just think that's so weird.
He's setting the standard. You know, he's setting the...
Exactly.
It's making it very difficult.
And by the way...
You can't address it. You can't... How do you address it?
What a massive... I thought it was a massive fuck-up on Donald Trump's part to... call Obama the creator,
the
founder of ISIS.
Right.
You know, he said it a million times for 2 days, and I, there was all this hullabaloo over it. It was network news, is like the lead story. He keeps calling him the founder of ISIS, blah blah blah, and of course, all these people in the administration just apoplectic about it. What an outrage! Just shows how unprepared he is. He lacks the, what do they say? He lacks the temperament to be president. And this just proves it again. And I got what he was saying. He was saying by pulling completely out of Iraq, he opened the door for something to come in there, which is what John McCain and many other people said. You can't pull everyone out of Iraq. And I remember myself at the time thinking, oh, fuck, just get everyone out of there. We're so sick of this thing.
Sure.
But, you know, you got to listen to the experts. And if the experts say that, I mean, it made sense to me that it was a pretty dramatic thing to do, to pull everyone, every last person out, because, I mean, the business of training the Iraqis was such a disaster. It just seemed like
impossible.
They needed so much more time to get that job done. So then I got what he was saying, but why did he ever explain it? And then to come back and say, oh, I was being sarcastic, when he had been challenged by this one guy to say, you know, I know what you were saying. You weren't saying that he founded ISIS.
Like,
you were saying that he opened the
door.
Right. And Trump said, no, that's not what I was saying. No, he's the founder of ISIS. It's like, wait, what is he saying?
Yeah, now he's
what
really.
Hell? He's losing me, man. Yeah. I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, he's lost. He's losing it.
That was just such a monumental screw up. And meanwhile, all this stuff is going on with Hillary Clinton that is so deserves attention.
Shouldn't it be game over? I mean, if the Republicans had a candidate that, you know, had his shit together, it would be game over.
I think
right?
this email thing and the Clinton Foundation, you know, and all that
right.
money and these speeches that she won't provide the transcripts to.
And she's worried about his tax returns, and she won't. And she's, you know.
I know, and somebody would be pounding that stuff, and I would assume you would just release your tax returns and just be done with it, however bad it is. And I know what's going on. I don't think he pays much in taxes, probably very little, because developers don't.
Something's going on, something that's going to make them look bad, obviously.
They probably should have, if I were running the Trump campaign, and I think I could do a better job than whoever's doing it, by the way.
I agree. He is, by the way.
What I would do is I would be preemptively saying, by the way, if Trump does ever release his taxes, don't be surprised if he pays a very low rate, because developers pay a very low rate. They have incredible write-offs. Yeah. It's a business.
You'd be setting the table.
Yeah, I would be trying to set the table right. for it. And then when you let it out, yeah. it would still probably be, people would be appalled by it, but at least, you know, maybe there'd be some forethought to it.
Aren't you surprised he hasn't made a deal?
You release
your transcripts and your emails.
Oh, that's a good idea. Except that every candidate's released their taxes since
Everyone, right.
Richard Nixon. So.
And a lot of them are very wealthy. We're wealthy. Very.
Oh, yeah. Romney. Romney paid like a 19% rate.
Which is, I'm surprised.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it is.
How's he paying 19%? That guy makes millions upon millions upon millions. And that just tells you right there. And why has no one closed the loopholes right. that allow someone like Mitt Romney to pay 19%? I mean, for all the bullshit we hear about, we're going to tax the rich. And by the way, is there anyone that's run? Is there ever been an election where we haven't had somebody talking about taxing the rich? Every election.
Every single election. Nothing changes.
Yeah. I mean, you think once in a blue moon they'd be talking about, you know, the guy at the bottom isn't paying shit. He's got to pay something. I mean, once in a blue moon, I guess people at the bottom aren't, I don't know, are they paying anything? Are people making $20,000? I would think they should pay like $300
a year. They should pay a lot to motivate them to work a little more, make a few more bucks. Maybe it'll motivate them, right?
That's a fascinating concept. What if until you're making $30,000, you had to pay a 50% tax rate? And the minute you made $31,000, you paid like 45%. When you made
$50,000. Kick their asses in gear to make some money.
There'd be no such thing as a two-week notice, number one. And people would probably be motivated to work
That's
hard and more, right?
And once you made $1 million,
great platform.
You paid like 5%.
Yeah. Bust your dick to make a lot of money. Work hard.
What a concept!
I love it.
Full of entrepreneurs.
All right, we're setting stage for Drew Lane.
Oh no, that was your idea.
Oh no, no,
you're taking it better for that. That was brilliant. Tess is so. Are you playing Angry Birds or what are you playing, Tess?
I'm reading a book.
Oh, you're reading a book?
No, I saw some candy.
You said you wanted to pop off about something tonight.
What?
You said you wanted to pop off about something tonight. Yeah, you
do.
Come over. You can be on my mic. Yeah, get on Brandon's mic.
What's popping?
I don't know what. Oh, you taking off, Brandon? Okay, buddy. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you. See ya.
Did you film something for Facebook?
I don't have a video up, no.
Oh, okay. I think we've had enough video on there.
Hey, hold on.
Let him take a break.
Let me get you on there.
I cannot believe how many people will actually click on our little videos.
Oh yeah,
on the podcast,
they love them.
Well, but it's just weird. It's like when you've had one up every day for the last five. It's the same thing I don't understand about Snapchat. You know,
it's old.
Well, I would think so. I was watching, True Life on MTV, and it was about social media. And here's this guy who's like 19 years old, and he's at dinner with his family or something. He's like, I've got to take a picture. I've got to take a selfie. And they're like, no, sit down and finish your dinner and eat with the family. He's on his phone the whole time. You know, they're eating dinner.
I hate that, by the way.
I know. So annoying. So anyway, he excuses himself to put a picture of himself on Snapchat. Because if he doesn't put a picture of every 2 hours or every 3 hours, you know, he's going to lose all his followers or whatever. And I'm like, what is different about a picture of this guy 3 hours ago than there is, you know, 6 hours ago, 9 hours ago, now? Who is the person that has to go look at a new selfie of this kid who looks the same every time he takes a picture?
So is it like followers? Is it like if you have followers or like friends now, like when we were in school? Like you wanted friends, now you want followers?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you don't know anybody that's following you. They're all strangers. But, I mean, would you look at a picture of someone every 3 hours on Snapchat? I mean, even the most beautiful.
Plus, nobody gives a shit about him, right?
No, but he has millions of followers. Oh, okay. He had millions of people looking at his stupid selfies. I don't know, Jay.
Are you jealous?
Am I missing something here? What's going on?
Can we get an account made for Drew Snapchat?
No
experiment. No. Snapchat Drew
blank.
Experiment.
But who are these millions of people that want to look at this guy?
Losers, million losers.
Oh, and he was a total loser.
I mean, what does he have to offer? Does he have
he was a good-looking kid.
Oh, I mean, maybe if he was like a Fraggle Rock or something looking.
But what picture is going to be so different than the next one or the last one that anybody gives a shit? I don't know. I just don't understand it.
I don't get it either.
Tess?
What?
What did you want to pop off about tonight? What was on your...
What's popping off?
What was...
Popping off?
Upsetting you. What was on your brain? I know you're watching the Olympics for
I was going to say, I was thinking about beach volleyball. And I watched Olympics almost 24/7 because my cousin had it on the TV.
I'm sorry.
What?
24/7 Olympics?
Yeah, but usually I've never
get closer to the microphone. Thank you.
And I'm also thinking about the good book that I'm reading.
What about beach volleyball?
Well,
I know the Americans lost.
Is this what's on your mind hour?
No, The Americans lost to the Brazilians, and actually...
But they won the bronze.
They won the bronze. They beat the Brazilians. Bronze.
No, they lost to...
The big one, I know.
Oh, okay. Right. It's a bummer.
And they were getting booed every time they touched the ball, weren't they?
Who?
Weren't the Americans getting booed like crazy?
Of course.
In the beach volleyball game?
You didn't watch it. You didn't see the cheerleaders on the sideline.
The Brazilian cheerleaders or the American cheerleaders?
Whose cheerleaders they were, but I just have never seen this.
They had to be Brazilian.
Is this men's or women's?
It was women's. Oh, okay. Al Roker was screaming at the match. The NBC had some video of Al Roker. He was yelling at the crowd because they were booing our players so badly. And like every time they touched the ball, they would boo. I don't know why. I guess just because their team was playing. I don't know.
They're number one. They're ranked one, right?
It just didn't seem terribly...
It's not very...
It didn't seem very Olympic to be booing so, so badly. I don't know. It just seemed... I don't know. It's weird. I've never seen that before at the Olympics. Not that I watch beach volleyball all the time.
It's my favorite.
But anyway, so...
I was also thinking about the Villages... And that you were making fun of me for going there.
The Villages?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the place where Pam lives?
Yeah, I like it there. We were
driving. Is that like the hood or something? The Villages?
No, it's for senior citizens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like when I was in Arizona, Sun City was known as like the senior place. And anyone that lives there, you can't have a child under 18 in your house. It's like you're not even allowed to have
like visit?
Yeah, they can visit, but they can't stay overnight.
Oh,
and, like, people would occasionally get caught with a 15-year-old. They've got a 15-year-old, and he's been there for weeks. And they would
it's
literally...
Like, it's not a dog.
They would run the kid off. The kid would have to leave. And everyone drives a golf cart. There's golf courses all over the place. There's, entertainment. There's everything. And apparently there's a lot of, like, swingers and crazy stuff, too.
Gold. If you wear gold slipper shoes... That means you're a swinger.
What?
Yes.
Sounds like a place.
There's swingers down at this place.
Would rather
yeah,
not
this is the place that has the highest STDs or something like that.
Like syphilis, gonorrhea, like STDs.
Yeah.
The seniors' place.
Mm-hmm. Well, swanky seniors.
So now you like the golf cart driving to get to wherever you wanted to go.
That's cool, but you could do that here. Technically,
not even close.
And then watching old people dancing because they have bands in the different little towns or whatever. There's like
that's
five or
funny.
Six of them. Oh, I was laughing my ass off watching them. They do line dancing. It was nice.
Is it like the senile old people or?
No, you know what? All joking aside, it's a nice,
I'm being
clean
serious. Okay.
Place. And now that I'm a senior citizen, I
feel like a senior
right
citizen.
Yes,
so you're looking at a place there? Is that what you're trying to? You're trying to? Okay.
She found
a unit you're interested in?
She was digging it. And I was, of course, saying, you can't live in a place like
you
that.
You can go play bingo at 7 up the walk.
Well, it's either that or a tiny home.
That's full-time bagelism. That's full-time bagel lifestyle.
You got an AARP card?
What, 55 is a senior citizen now?
Hmm.
Well, I got a discount.
Oh. Yeah. And when I'm 65, I don't want to be around a bunch of 80-year-olds.
Wouldn't you rather be around, like, 18 than 80?
No.
Make you spunkier?
I don't
want to
be around 18-year-olds, but I don't want to be around 80-year-olds when I'm 65.
Hmm.
How old are most people that live there?
You know what? It's like I said to you, in your neighborhood, on your street, do you know anybody's name at all?
Yeah.
Well, okay, you're not your neighbor, next door neighbor.
And Denny across the street.
But I'm, it's my Danny. Point is this.
Is it Danny? Danny?
No, I'm kidding.
It's Denny.
Okay.
My point is that...
I know a few people on my street.
Well, no, but you don't really know the age. It's not like, I mean, they have a nice house.
Age is just a number. Pools, who cares?
There's restaurants, there's shops, and...
Well, I live in Ferndale, though. All that stuff's in Ferndale and Royal Oak, too.
Yeah, I know, but it's just my point is that how old someone is doesn't matter because I don't, except for Adina, I don't know anyone else on my street, and I don't want to. So I don't know how old they are. That's my point.
Well, then why would you want to know? Why would you want to know everyone in Bagleville?
I don't. Because
you just know everyone's old and doesn't matter anymore.
It's a nice place. Oh. I mean, there's country
clubs. I'm sure it's nice, but. I'm not sure what you're are you trying to make me like it? You telling me that I need to live there?
No, you're not going to, but it's not as bad as you make it sound.
No, I'm not making it sound bad. I just think it's for certain people.
Me.
And
bunch of rules. Sounds like a bunch of rules to me.
No, I said that or really tiny home or that.
A tiny home. Oh, my God. Tiny homes are cool. I have to admit, I love watching the tiny home shows. Have you watched them on HGTV ever?
Yeah.
DIY?
I would love to, like, watch somebody, like, you buy one and live in it so I could
we
make
want
fun
to
of
put
you.
It on your property.
It would be awful. No.
We want to put it up.
No, how about why not just buy like a Winnebago so you can drive it around? It's about the same size.
You
can
drive a tiny home around, actually. They're on somewhere on wheels.
Too expensive.
No, they're not expensive at all.
Per square foot, they're very expensive.
Per square foot.
Well, no? I guess they might be. But they're also extremely efficient. I mean, you can if you're looking to downscale your life, that's not a bad way. I don't think it's a bad way to do it.
So you're going green on me?
Wait.
No. We get you some solar panels and
John,
some...
John, you said you didn't watch the show.
I've seen them. I've seen them. No, I've seen
them.
I'm not an expert. I've seen them. You know, they're everywhere.
No, but you guys are dissing all of my...
No, I just... They're not for me. I think they're great.
Tiny homes.
Tiny homes.
I told you I think tiny homes are cool.
I think the village is okay. I'm just having fun with you.
I know. Okay, that was
as long as
it's
on the beach.
Okay.
You can talk about.
I have to.
There's nothing else you wanted to pop off about?
No, but thank you for giving me a few minutes.
A venue,
yeah.
Isn't there anything else?
I don't think that your listeners really want to hear any more from me.
Nothing else from the Olympics? You watch so much Olympics.
I know. I like the diving.
But did you think, when the story first came out about Ron Lochte, did you think that, did you buy it? That he was robbed?
I thought it sounded very suspect.
I tweeted, check my Twitter, I said, more is coming of this story. I knew it. And I didn't know what. Today I speculated that it was prostitutes. They get robbed by a prostitute, like a John, a pimp. Or maybe they're buying drugs or something. They got robbed by a drug dealer. I knew something was weird about it, but who'd have thunk that they tore up a gas station? Oh, well. Okay. So nothing else you want to pop off about?
No, I just didn't think you'd let me talk this long. So
it's a podcast.
I know, but your people don't want to listen to me.
Okay, then why did you want to be on?
Because it's fun.
Okay. It's fun to run our listeners off.
No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Tess.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back tomorrow with Charlie LaDuff. And Mark's just having a little mini vacation. No, not everyone's abandoning the podcast. Mike Clark isn't even abandoning the podcast. Mike Clark may be back next week. Believe it or not. He could come roaring in here. But then again, he might not. We'll see. More on that to come, and we'll see you with Charlie tomorrow. Thanks to everybody tonight. And
see ya.
See ya.